All right, let's dive right in to the world of aging wine. Looks like we've got a ton of research and questions from our listeners this time around.
Definitely a lot to unpack here.
And a lot of folks seem to be really into this whole aging process, trying to figure out how it all works.
For sure.
Like, is older wine always better? Which wines should you even bother aging in the first place? And then there's the whole mystery of those different containers, the oak barrels and all that. What's the deal with those?
Yeah, great questions.
So let's break it all down. We're going to try to answer all those questions in this deep dive.
Sounds good.
First things first, that whole idea that older wine is automatically better. Is that really true?
You know, it's kind of a misconception that age always equals quality when it comes to wine.
Okay, so it's not as simple as just waiting for the years to tick by.
Nope. Some wines are actually meant to be enjoyed young. They kind of hit their peak pretty early on.
Interesting.
You know, they're all about that fresh, vibrant fruitiness.
Like what are some examples?
Think Sauvignon Blanc or maybe a Semillon blend.
Okay, I've definitely had some of those.
Especially from places like Margaret River in Australia. They're known for making those really zesty, fresh styles.
Right, so aging those wouldn't really make sense.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to lose those bright flavors and aromas that make them so special.
So it's like some wines are sprinters and others are marathon runners.
Exactly.
Got it. So if some wines are meant to be enjoyed young, how do you know which ones are actually built for the long haul for aging?
Yeah, so wines that are designed for aging, like a big Cabernet Sauvignon, they have certain characteristics that allow them to kind of evolve and develop complexity over time.
Okay, so there's something special about them.
Yeah, it's a whole interplay of things, like the grape variety, the tannins, the acidity, even the way the wine is made plays a role.
So there's a lot going on there.
Definitely. It's not just one single thing that determines how a wine will age.
Makes sense. But then there's that whole other layer of the aging process that I find really interesting, and that's the containers they use.
Yeah, the vessels.
Your research mentioned oak barrels, stainless steel tanks, even glass carboys. It's like a whole different world.
Right, and each one of those vessels actually plays a really important role in shaping the final character of the wine.
So it's not just about the time, it's also about the container.
It's kind of like choosing different spices to enhance a dish.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
So for example, oak. It's a classic choice, especially for aging red wines. It introduces compounds like tannins, lactones, and vanillin.
Wait, so those vanilla notes I sometimes get in red wine, that's from the oak.
Exactly.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, the oak tannins add structure and astringency to the wine.
Okay.
And then the lactones contribute those creamy, coconut-like nuances.
Interesting.
And then you have vanillin, which, as the name suggests, brings those familiar vanilla aromas.
So it's like the oak is adding a whole other dimension of flavor to the wine.
Exactly. It's not just about the grape itself.
It's like a collaboration between the grape and the wood.
Exactly.
Well, I'm starting to see how oak adds so much complexity.
And it doesn't stop there. Oak can also help stabilize the color of the wine.
Oh, interesting.
And it can mellow out those harsh flavors that you might find in a young wine.
So it kind of smooths things out.
Exactly.
Wow. Oak is really a multitasker. But what about those other vessels? Like, what about stainless steel? I feel like I mostly see that used for white wines.
Yeah, so stainless steel is all about purity.
Purity.
It's completely neutral. It doesn't add any flavors of its own to the wine.
Oh, so it's kind of like a blank canvas.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes it perfect for wines where you really want to showcase those fresh fruit flavors and aromas like Sauvignon Blanc.
Right, those printers we were talking about.
Exactly. You get a really clean, crisp expression of the grape itself without any oak influence.
So it's like stainless steel is a window, letting the wine's true color shine through.
I like that.
What about those glass carboys I saw mentioned? They seem a bit more old school.
Yeah, they are less common these days, but glass carboys, similar to stainless steel, are chosen for their neutrality.
So they're also about preserving the wine's natural character.
Exactly. They're really good at protecting delicate wines and making sure those subtle nuances are preserved.
It's amazing how each vessel brings something unique to the table, or should I say, the cellar.
Yeah.
We've talked about oak in general, but you mentioned Allier oak earlier. Does the type of wood really make that much of a difference?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge factor. Yeah, it's like choosing different types of wood for a fire.
Right.
Each one burns differently, releases different aromas.
Right.
So French oak, for example, it's known for its elegance, its finesse.
Okay.
You get these subtle spice notes, silky tannins.
Sounds fancy.
It is. It's often used for delicate wines like Pinot Noir.
Oh, I see. So French oak is all about subtlety and nuance.
Exactly. It's like a whisper, not a shout.
Got it. What about American oak, then? I've heard it can be pretty distinctive.
Oh, yeah. American oak is a whole different ballgame. It tends to be much bolder, more in your face.
Interesting.
It comes from a different species of oak tree, so the wood has a more pronounced grain structure.
Okay, so that affects the flavor.
It totally does. You get these big, rich flavors like vanilla, coconut, sometimes even a hint of dill.
Wow, dill. That's unexpected.
Yeah, it's pretty unique.
So I guess American oak is better suited for bigger, bolder wines.
Exactly. It's often used for things like Cabernet Sauvignon or Zinfandel, where those strong oak flavors can really stand up to the wine's inherent intensity.
It's like pairing a wine with a meal. You want flavors that complement each other.
Exactly. It's all about finding the right match.
So we've talked about French oak, American oak. Are there any other types of wood that are used for aging wine?
Oak is definitely the most popular choice, but there are some winemakers out there who are experimenting with other types of wood.
Really? Like what?
Chestnut, acacia, even cherry wood.
Wow, that's interesting. I never would have thought of those.
It's definitely a niche practice, but it just goes to show that there's always innovation happening in the world of winemaking.
I love that. People are always pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So we've talked a lot about the vessels, the types of wood. But let's switch gears for a minute and dive into the science behind aging.
Okay, yeah.
Your research included some fascinating details about all the chemical transformations that happen inside the bottle.
Right.
Can you break that down for us? Like, what's actually happening to the wine as it sits there for years?
So the basic idea is that aging allows different compounds in the wine to interact with each other and change over time.
Okay.
It's like a slow dance of molecules.
I like that.
And these changes lead to all those desirable characteristics we associate with a mature wine, like smoother tannins, more complex aromas, and a more balanced flavor profile.
So those big chewy tannins that you sometimes get in a young red wine,
Yeah.
what happens to those as the wine ages?
So tannins are these complex molecules that are naturally found in both grapes and oak.
Right?
And during aging, they go through a process called polymerization.
Polymerization. That sounds complicated.
It's actually not as complex as it sounds.
Okay, good.
Think of it like Lego blocks.
Okay, I'm listening.
So individual tannins are like those little Lego blocks, right?
Right.
And as the wine ages, those little blocks start to link together, forming longer chains.
Okay, like they're building something.
Exactly. And these longer chains of tannins or polymers, they create a smoother, more velvety texture in the wine.
So that's why a young Cabernet Sauvignon can feel so astringent.
Exactly. Those tannins are all over the
But
place.
as it ages, it gets smoother and smoother.
Right. Those tannins soften and integrate over time, making the wine feel much more harmonious and balanced on your palate.
That makes sense. But what about the other changes that happen as wine ages? What about the flavors? How do those evolve?
Yeah, so as wine matures, those primary fruit flavors that you get in a young wine, like the bright berry notes in a Cabernet, they start to mellow and evolve into something more
So
complex.
they change over time.
Exactly. They might develop into more savory aromas like dried fruit, figs, even jam.
Interesting.
At the same time, you also get the development of tertiary aromas.
Tertiary aromas.
Yeah, those are the really complex aromas that emerge as the wine ages, things like spice, earthiness, leather, tobacco.
Wow, that's a pretty wide range of flavors.
It is, and it's all thanks to the magic of chemistry.
You mentioned something earlier about micro-oxygenation. What is that exactly, and why is it important for aging wine?
Yeah, so oxygen actually plays a really crucial role in the aging process.
But too much oxygen can spoil wine, right?
Exactly. Too much oxygen can be a bad thing, but in controlled amounts, it can actually be beneficial.
Interesting. How does that work?
So think about oak barrels. They're not completely airtight.
Right, they have those little pores.
Exactly. And those tiny pores allow minuscule amounts of oxygen to seep into the wine over time.
So it's a very slow, gradual process.
Exactly. And that slow, controlled exposure to oxygen is what we call micro-oxygenation.
Okay.
And it helps soften the tannins and encourages the development of all those complex tertiary aromas we talked
This
about.
is like a balancing act.
Exactly. You need just the right amount of oxygen to get those beneficial effects.
Wow, this is all so fascinating. I'm starting to see why aging wine is considered both an art and a science.
It really is. There are so many factors at play. The grapes, the winemaking techniques, the aging vessel, the time, the oxygen, and they all interact in these incredibly complex
It's
ways.
like a symphony of flavors.
Exactly, and that's what makes aged wine so special. It's a true expression of time and place.
But as a casual wine drinker, I have to admit that I'm still a bit intimidated by the whole aging process. It seems like there's so much that could go wrong.
I understand.
Do you have any advice for someone who wants to start exploring the world of aged wines but isn't sure where to begin?
Sure. The most important thing is to start with wines that are known for their aging potential.
Okay, so not all wines are created equal.
Exactly. Not all wines are meant for the long haul. So look for wines that have good structure, like Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, Nebbiolo. Those are all good candidates.
Got it. So start with the classics.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to experiment. Try different vintages, different producers. See what you like.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like any new hobby. You have to experiment and find what you enjoy.
Exactly. But one thing that's really important to keep in mind when you're aging wine is proper storage.
Oh, right. The storage conditions
are absolutely crucial. You want to create an environment that's going to protect your wine from all those things that can cause it to deteriorate.
Yeah. So what are the must-haves for a good wine storage setup?
Well, you want to create a space that's kind of like a time capsule for your wine.
A time capsule.
Protecting it from the outside world.
Got it.
So think cool, dark, and with a bit of humidity.
Okay, makes sense.
Temperature fluctuations are the enemy of aging wine, so consistency is key.
So no storing those precious bottles near a heater or in a sunny window.
Exactly. A cool basement is ideal, or a temperature-controlled wine fridge if you have one.
Those are good options. What about that old saying, the older the better? Is there any truth to that when it comes to wine?
Well, it's a nice thought, but it's not always the case. Some wines do continue to improve for decades, but others might peak after just a few years.
So how can you tell if a wine has aged past its prime?
There are a few clues you can look for. The color of the wine can be an indicator.
Okay, so what should we be looking for?
Well, red wines tend to lose their vibrancy with age. They'll transition from a bright ruby red to more of a brick-like hue.
So if that Cabernet is starting to look a little brickish, it might be time to open it.
Exactly. And white wines, they might become darker over time, taking on more amber tones.
Interesting. So the color can tell you a lot.
It can. And the aroma, too, that can change dramatically with age.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, those fresh, fruity notes you might find in a young wine, they can give way to more complex, savory aromas.
Like what?
Things like leather, tobacco, dried fruits.
Wow, so the whole evolution of aromas.
It is, but if the aroma seems muted or off, that could be a sign that the wine is past its peak.
So it's a good indicator.
Yeah, but ultimately, the best way to tell if a wine is still good is to taste it.
Right, the proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the wine.
Exactly. Pay attention to the texture. Those once tannic reds should feel smoother, more integrated. The acidity might also have mellowed, creating a more harmonious balance.
Okay, so it should all come together.
Right. But if the wine tastes flat, hollow, or just lacks freshness, it might be past its prime.
So it's a combination of factors.
Yeah.
The color, the aroma, the taste. It all paints a picture of the wine's journey through time.
It does. But at the end of the day, a personal preference is still the most important thing.
That's true. What good is a perfectly aged wine if you don't enjoy drinking it?
Exactly. Some people love the fresh, fruit-forward character of younger wines.
Right.
While others are drawn to the complexity and nuance of older vintages.
It's all about what you like.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of wine. There's something for everyone.
Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. I've learned so much about aging wine, and I'm definitely inspired to start experimenting with my own collection.
I'm glad to hear that. It's a fascinating world to explore.
It is. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners as they embark on their own wine aging adventures?
Just remember to keep exploring, keep tasting, and most importantly, enjoy the journey.
Well said. A huge thank you to you for guiding us through this fascinating topic. And to our listeners, cheers to your future explorations in the world of aged wines. We'll catch you in our next deep dive.